William Nuttall, thank you for talking to the Cambridge Judge Business School podcast series today. We're at the Festival of Ideas, the Electricity Policy Research Group, looking at the good, the bad and the ugly in terms of energy policies. How did you arrive at your two statements and why?
I think I wanted to raise two issues that are of topical concern and to do them in ways that would engage with our audience. Of members of the public regionally interested in issues of energy and the environment.
And the first one, are competitive energy markets can deliver investment in new nuclear plants. Can you justify that?
I hope so. The intention really is this, to say that over the last 20 years, the United Kingdom has done much to build competitive energy markets. And right now, for reasons of climate change and energy security, there's much interest in the possibility of building new nuclear power stations. But the last time we did it, we didn't have an energy market. We had, for electricity, essentially central planning. But the government tells us today that the government does not build power stations. So if the government doesn't build them, can the market build us nuclear power stations? I think it probably can.
And there's also strange attitudes to nuclear power, depending on which country you're in, aren't they? That's fascinating.
Yes, the other suggestion I put forward was that actually Britain should hand its energy policy over to the European Union, because the 27 member states of the European Union retain their own local policy for the electricity generation mix. So in some countries, nuclear energy is a source of national pride, whereas in others, it's essentially illegal. And essentially, I regard that as somewhat bizarre.
It is bizarre, but do you think that nuclear, perhaps now, because all the talk is of the green energies, the green energy technologies, do you think perhaps in the main it has had its day?
I think that saying it's had its day is maybe a twist on the notion that it's a mature technology, and I think there's nothing wrong with being a mature technology. While conceding it is mature, I don't want to say that there's no opportunity for further research and development. There most definitely is. But the main point I'd like to make is that more than 400 nuclear power stations are operating around the world. This is a technology that has been made to work and is known to work. And the challenge is, as I mentioned in my first statement, to make sure this can be done in a competitive economic framework.
And it can be, because, of course, the one thing here with public sector expenditure cuts is can we afford things? Lots of big projects, big ideas, particularly involving capital investment, are being put on ice. But you think that there is a competitive market for nuclear energy?
I think that the prospect of actual Treasury subsidy for significant parts of electricity policy is not on the table for many reasons, including the constrained economic times. But there's always been the possibility that electricity consumers can be paying for major investments through their bills. And frankly, every family in the country is an electricity consumer. So whether it's paid through taxes or through electricity bills is, I suppose, at the consumer perspective, essentially the same thing. My sense is that decisions and implementation of decisions to build large energy infrastructures, well, they used in the 50s and 60s to be made by government and nationalised industries. And I don't detect any need to return to that for nuclear power. But the market we have at the moment is not delivering the kind of balanced and technology-neutral incentives that nuclear power needs.
And so what's the solution to that?
Well, I think one of the things that should be done is to, if we do believe in a carbon price, that it should be stable and it should be substantial. I think that the 15 euro a ton CO2 price right now is insufficient to incentivize the changes that need to be made. But equally, the policy driver of energy security, which is essential and vital, one struggles to bring that into a market framework. There are various ideas in play, and I think, for instance, allowing prices to spike to provide a spur to investment, or admitting a capacity payment, which is money for having a power station, not just for generating. I think these are kind of policy adjustments to the market, which would not destroy the market.
If we then move on, you mentioned your second statement, Britain should hand energy policy to the European Union. I mean, could we really get rid of all those 27 energy ministers and have one energy supremo? Wouldn't the lobbyists have a field day?
Well, I think that it is perhaps slightly ironic that here I am as a British citizen talking about a very Euro-federalist notion of handing powers to Brussels, and I note the coalition government has a position exactly opposed to that position. But I see merit in it. I think at the fundamental level, it's not a policy where this Euro word subsidiarity is needed, because I see that my sense is the global climate challenge is global and not regional. And increasingly, the challenge of energy security is about the European Union as a whole importing energy resources from the rest of the world. So this is an area where Europe could speak so much more powerfully if it had one voice. And we should recognise that in many, many other areas, the member states have handed their sovereignty over to Brussels, including this country has. And I just think that the case for doing it for energy is at least as strong as in some other areas.
And yes, you ended by talking about real global leadership from Europe on energy policy. Could that ever happen?
Well, I'm an optimist, let's say, or even a stoic. I think that if the European Union institutions are given serious power, then they become serious and they reflect on the responsibility that they have. And I would trust that, and remember, these institutions are ever more democratic. I would trust that we would actually have sensible, rational and realistic policymaking from Brussels. My sense, sad to say at the moment, is that some of the policies out of Brussels look more like hope than experience. But if energy policy were put up to the European level, I think it would become a much more powerful offering from Brussels. And equally, Europe would look a much more credible and persuasive voice from outside. And that, I think, is the really important challenge facing the world and Europe at this time.
Now, when we came to that real important vote on your two propositions at the end of the hour's debate with the panellists, you did rather well, didn't you? Do you want to just tell us your results? I think in terms of the good, the bad and the ugly, people actually sort of agreed with you on both.
Yes, I think the one that struck me the most was how the audience went from a kind of, as one might expect, moderately Eurosceptic position to actually being attracted to my proposition that we should hand energy policy to Brussels. One other thing, I think there is an opportunity for Brussels to become more engaged in energy because, for other reasons, it's clear that the Lisbon Treaty is not the last treaty. Right now, in October 2010, there's discussions of a need for at least treaty reform regarding the euro. Britain's position on that remains to be seen. But also, I'd point out in the energy space, one of the very oldest treaties of the European Union, which has never been modified, is the Euratom Treaty, which, frankly, I regard as an anachronism. It benefits from none of the modernisation that we've seen in the rest of the European Union realm. And I would commend that treaty for revision. So I think there is an opportunity for a subsequent treaty after Lisbon, and why not have the first treaty named after an important and major British city for once?
Which city?
Well, London would be too easy. I don't know. Glasgow?
I knew that you had that answer on the tip of your tongue, so I did answer it. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you, William Nuttall, in Europe next. Thank you ever so much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Judge Business School podcast series today here in the Lecture Theatre at the Festival of Ideas, the Electricity Policy Energy Research Group, Energy Policies, the Good, the Bad and the Ugly. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks very much.